The country is still counting the cost of President Jacob Zuma's still satisfactory explained reason for the first axing of Finance Minister Shlashanene and appointing backbencher David Van Rooyen in his place before making another U-turn and return Pravin Gordhan to the post. Decision have led to calls for the party to recall the president and thousands venting on social media as the decision took its toll on the local markets and set the rand on a downward spiral. Government has been left trying to shore up credibility, but questions about the president remain as we are on the line to ANC Stalworth and director of the Institute for African Alternatives. We have with us Professor Ben Turok. Professor Ben, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Morning. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. What is your immediate reaction to the decision? What was your immediate reaction to the decision made by President Zuma?
I couldn't believe it, frankly. I was left speechless because I know both the candidates, all three of the people concerned, very well. And Slantla, Nene, and I were together on committees in Parliament. He's a steady man, he's an honest man, he worked terribly hard to get to the top, and he made it, and I think this is a very cruel thing to do to that man. So quite apart from the finance and everything else, I think Zuma has been cruel to a fellow Zulu who worked so hard to make it to the top grade. It's not fair. So that's my first comment. As to Van Rooyen, I know him very well too. He spent all the years in Parliament writing exams, essays, being a student. He never had a job in Parliament as a chair of any committee. He didn't want it. He could have got it. And he didn't want it because he wants to study and make his academic career. And he never made a single speech that I can remember which of any quality. Nobody can remember anything he's ever said. Isn't that amazing for an MP of so many years? And now we go to Pravin Gordhan, who of course is an excellent man, and we saw on TV last night, this is a man of high quality, and thank goodness he is there. So, the question is this, really. It's not about one person or another. It's about the governance of South Africa. Let's face it, we are in a very, very poor shape as governance. Mr. Zuma has made many, many bad appointments. When you think of Piecha, you think of Mieni, you think of Jiba, you think of so many bad appointments. Lucky Montana, the head of ESCOM, one after another. This man lacks judgment. And the worst judgment, you know, I've written an editorial for New Agenda, my journal. And in the editorial, the first paragraph says that this ill judgment in sacking Nene and putting in Van Rooyen is the biggest lack of judgment that Zuma has made in his career. And it's a turning point. Who is going to have confidence in his judgment? Who is going to have confidence in any future appointment he makes? And I think that it's a turning point in the way the country looks at him. And whether he resigns or not, my own feeling is that he should resign. He should go to Nkandla. He's got a nice house. We'll forgive him all the sins. Let him go and settle down there and look after his kraal and his swimming pool. That's my view.
Did this do irreparable damage to the party that you are such a big part of?
Yes, I think so. Because if the leadership of the party shows such poor judgment, then really people are going to say, what are they going to do next? But you see, the main thing is this, that Zuma did not consult anybody, which is totally out of character. Because in the ANC, consultation is a very important part of the whole thing. It used to be. He's got the top six. He's got the working committee. He's got the national executive committee. He's got cabinet. He's got all the lakhotlas. There are many opportunities to consult. And it seems that I think the fact that he was able to shake the hand and walk down a red carpet with the president of China, Xi Jinping. This went to his head. He began to think that he was emperor of the world. I really think so. You know, because he's the president, he can talk to Angela Merkel, he can talk to Obama, he can talk to Xi Jinping, and almost anybody else, and that makes him think that he's all-powerful. Well, you know, we can see he's not. He's got feet of clay. And now it's going to be worse than ever because, frankly, who can trust his judgment? That's the issue. And if you can't trust the judgment of your president, it creates a hell of a bad situation in the country. And I would say this to you, my friend. Your radio has got to now speak up. You've got to take a stand. And all people in public life, including me, must take a stand and say, we want better governance in South Africa. It's not only about one individual. The governance is sinking. We've got rotten public servants in many places, heads of state-owned enterprises who have no merit. We have the National Prosecution Authority, which is questionable. We have so many wrong appointments. And, you know, this is a disaster, and your radio station has an obligation to the country to say that our governance system is collapsing and the world is going to laugh at us. They are laughing. I was in Rwanda last week, you know, and speaking to the Minister of Finance and so on. They expect much more from us, not to behave like this. And this has got to come to a stop.
Yes, really, we are selling ourselves short. Just to come back to the issue, you know, to fill us in further, you spoke about the fact that you know David Van Rooyen and the roles that he has played in the past, but where does he fit into the picture? Where did he come to from to attain this vital position?
I wish I knew. You know, Van Rooyen is a nice chap, and he and I are good friends, and we speak Swahili because we are both in Tanzania, so, you know, we have a good relationship. I have nothing personal against him, in the sense, there's nothing wrong with him. And he's quite smart. He can pass exams. He passes exams very easily. So, the president got it in his head, because this guy has a master's in finance, that he can be a minister of finance. I mean, it's a joke. He's never run anything. He's got no experience. He prefers to read books and write exams than to say anything important. I asked him many times in Parliament, are you going to take a stand on this or that? And he calls me Mwalimu, teacher. You know, like Nyerere used to be called Mwalimu. You know, it's a term of respect. He calls me Mwalimu. Every time we meet, he says, Mwalimu. Now, you know, and I would say to him, look, you're the secretary of the economic cluster. Call all the economic people, portfolio committees in Parliament together. Let's have a meeting and to discuss this or that and the other. He would say, you know, Mwalimu, you know, there's no time and I've got an exam to write. He always found some excuse not to do it. So he was very laid back. And now, you put him in a position. I'll tell you what, if he'd stayed in the job, he would have had a heart attack in a week or two, frankly. He couldn't cope. There's no way he could do the job. No way. And the president ought to know that. You appoint somebody who's avoided publicity, who's avoided responsibility for years, and now you put him in the most responsible job in the world. Oh, come on. You know, that's not serious.
Do you believe that the president was pressurized by top members of the cabinet to change his mind and appoint Pravin Gordhan?
Well, somebody pressured him. It could have been the Treasury. It could have been the Reserve Bank. It could have been both of them who said to him, if you carry on with this, we're going down the drain because we're going to be junk status and that will cost the country. It will ruin us. Could have been one of those two or both. Or it could have been top people in the ANC. I don't know. Or business. But you see, business is so bloody awful in South Africa. You know, this, what's it called, business leadership. These are 70 top companies. you know, Saki Makozoma and all those people. My goodness me, they are making millions every year. They go home with 15 million rand in every, and bonuses and whatnot, and they keep absolutely quiet. What the hell is wrong with them? What's wrong with Johan van Zyl? What's wrong with Rupert? What's wrong with the captains of industry? Where are they? You know, hiding under the table. You know, I speak to some of these people, and I say to them, why don't you say something? They say, ooh, there's retaliation. The moment they speak out, there's retaliation. Well, you know, we've all faced retaliation. I've faced retaliation. I was in trial for treason as a retaliation. So, where is the guts of our business people? And it's shameful. At a time like this, every big businessman should stand up and say, my business is suffering, and the country is suffering, and the future. The money is flowing out here like fast the river. And everybody's going to suffer. So where are they? I think here's another job for you. Your station should call on the business community, the top guys, the millionaires, the multi-billionaires, the Whitey Bessons. We know their names. Where are they? Ackerman, hiding away, making money. It's disgraceful.
Absolutely. Prof, you've been part and parcel of the ANC all your life. Do you still believe in the ideals of the ANC? Will the party be able to weather the storm?
Well, look, the ideals are very good. The Freedom Charter is a wonderful document. It's been in existence 60 years and it'll live forever. In every township in South Africa, you've got wonderful ANC cadres. The same kind of people who were there 50 years ago. These are ordinary working people, many of them unemployed, many honest, many wanting a new South Africa. And those are the people that I have loyalty to. I don't have loyalty to certain people who are making mischief at the top. So, you know, the ANC is two things. It's a huge mass movement of very decent, ordinary people who I love. But it's also a group of people and personified by the president who are in it to make their own future, to make hay, who are corrupt, and looting the coffers of the state and riding around in Mercedes-Benzes with bodyguards and whatnot, houses in Pretoria, houses in Cape Town, flying business class all the time, going around the world pretending, wearing fancy clothes. These are the people who I think I don't belong to. People ask me, am I going to vote for the ANC? I'm not going to vote for those people. I'll vote for the ordinary member of the ANC. There's a difference.
Yes. Prophet, it has been fascinating chatting to you this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was Professor Ben Turek speaking to us about his perspective on the current developments, bringing us on to 13 minutes to 8.